this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster, and we're going to rehash what's really going on in the world and try to explain to you what's happening. Now, this last week, why Portugal was having real problems as far as selling bonds. Portugal has a large debt. They have to roll this debt over, but they've got to borrow money from somebody if they're going to roll the debt over, but they're going to have to pay a very, very high interest rate, and the interest rate they were paying was 7%. Now, that's pretty high, for the Cernia interest, and they're already short on funds, so a lot of the money that would go into developments in the country and roads and government employees and education is now going to have to go to pay interest on an ever-growing debt. And, of course, I think you're going to see the same thing with Spain and Italy and the other so-called pig nations, and then nations on the eastern part of Europe, and Belgium's having some problems as well. And then, of course, we're finding very, very similar problems here in the United States. We have a lot of cities and counties and fire boards and school boards and others who are living on borrowed money. Everybody's living on borrowed money. Boy, you can do great things on borrowed money, but then the day comes when you have to refinance all those bonds, pay off bonds, and borrow more money because you don't have any money. And then, of course, the interest rates start going up, and the interest rates even starting to go up on our 30-year T-bills. So, Bob, why don't you sort of discuss this? Because this really is an ominous sign, isn't it? Oh, let's see. There's Bob. Okay, Bob. I was just talking about the rising interest rates.
I heard you.
Okay, what I want you to explain what's going on and why this is ominous.
Well, we get these four factors. Number one, municipalities are trying to raise money, and it's almost impossible because of the problems that they're running into. They have the U.S. government issuing debt, which for a good part the Federal Reserve is buying, and that's along with the agencies Fannie, Freddie, Ginnie, and FHA. And then you have the commercial market, where just any company is looking to float some bonds or borrow some money. And then you have the fourth major factor, and that is Europe, which you just talked about in the form of Portugal last Friday, doing a placement, a good part of which was done outside the market with China. And others will be borrowing or have and will borrow money from China. So you have this tremendous need to finance old debt and to finance new debt. And it is a colossal amount of money. And it's going to encompass all of these regions, and that money they're going to have to fight for, and simply.
Aren't they really going to have to pay higher interest rates to get it, is the thing?
That'll range from probably 4 5/8 to 7.5%.
But that means there's less money to spend on essential services, so that you begin to get a process of diminishing returns, don't you?
You sure do. There's absolutely no question. And
hold that thought.
The social and political implications.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, go right ahead, Bob. And certainly we know that basically they're talking about the 15 countries having to raise about $10.2 trillion this year, 2011, to pay off the maturing debt and suddenly borrow to replace that, and because you know, they can't pay it off. They don't have the money, so they have to borrow anew, and then they have to pay interest on their existing loans that are not running over. And $10.2 trillion is a lot of money, and no matter who you're talking about.
You're right, and there's the social and political implications as well. Many of the cities and towns and states are really what you would call bankrupt, and some of them, more than 100, will probably not be able to meet the interest payments on their bonds. In the form of the states, there's legislation spouting out of Washington that would allow states which presently can't go bankrupt to go bankrupt. But the problem with that is, and Washington seems to like this, but I certainly don't, and that is they would be able to renege legally on their obligations to retirees that are collecting and those for the future. And so that's a pretty terrible situation as far as I'm concerned. And then you have the Fed, how much money are they going to have to create? Well, I don't know. But I think it's safe to assume $1.5 trillion a year, easy, unless they run into some fairy godmother someplace that get more money than she needs. And then in Europe, it's really a tough situation. You have a number of countries that are on the edge, particularly Greece and Ireland. The people in Ireland are absolutely furious, like they are in Greece, that they have been taken advantage of the way that they have, particularly by their own governments. In the case, both cases, members of the Bilderberger Group have been running those countries, and the ones that aren't directly running it are influencing the others. Everybody's getting paid off. In the case of Ireland, the debt that the current party in power has assumed is colossal. There's no way they can ever pay it off. They'll live in bondage for the next 100 years.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Bob is talking about Ireland. Basically, the Irish problem was not in the Irish economy. It was in the banks. And rather than bail out Main Street, they bailed out the equivalent of Wall Street. They bailed out the financial interests. In fact, that's what this is really all about, is saving the banks, but it let the people go into bondage. And the people in Ireland have taken on massive debts to bail out the banks. And certainly the banks acted totally irresponsible, lending money to countries like Greece and Portugal and Spain and Italy. They knew would never be able to pay back the money. And, of course, what's going to happen is the people are going to be indebted and they're going to have to lower their living standards dramatically so the bankers can continue getting their massive bonuses. And, of course, the same thing is happening here in the United States, because we've got a real problem in the United States because, of course, Ben Bernanke announced he was going to spend $600 billion. He wanted to assure us that he wasn't going to print the money. No, he's just going to create it out of nothing electronically. And, of course, everybody in the world knows this is going to lead to inflation. It's already leading to inflation. They know what they're doing, but they were going to do it because they wanted to lower interest rates, keep the interest rates down to stimulate the economy. And you know what happened? Why the interest rates went up. If these guys are so smart, they're smart enough to run the economy, how could they assure us the interest rates would go down and interest rates went up? I don't understand that, Bob. I mean, these are the smartest guys in the world. How could they be 180 degrees wrong?
Well, it's pretty obvious that they're not as smart as they think they are. Because on that one, they really got caught with their pants down. There's no question. And they've been trying to work the 10-year T-note back from 3.5%. They recently had it at 3.27%. I think on Friday it closed at 333. But the point is that they're not going to be able to reverse that. And I think it's going to be a failure. And I think rates are going to dwaddle between 3 and 3.5% for a while. But I think real rates in the market pace are going to continue to tend to go higher for the reason you mentioned earlier, and that is getting paid well for lending your money under these dire and difficult circumstances. And that's going to go on for a long time. I think what the people who are in power behind the throne, so to speak, are thinking of, and that is this situation to last indefinitely. And what they do is they just keep on having quantitative easing. We're in two, we're going to go to three, and who knows where. And I talked about this on this program in May, far long before anybody talked about QE2 and 3 and maybe more. And I think that is their intention, because as long as they can keep the economy going sideways, I think for the moment they're happy with that.
But, Bob, you know, basically everybody in the world says that, you know, this is going to damage the dollar and it's going to lead to inflation. This is why more and more foreign investors are not going to be buying T-bonds or not buying you know, agency bonds and the other things here, because they're afraid that they're going to put their good money in today, invest in dollars, buy the bonds, and then when they get paid back, they'll be paid back in dollars that are worth, you know, 50% less, 75% less. They're afraid that the Fed, its policies are going to destroy the dollar. And I think that's what they're designed to do. I mean, we know that inflation is not rising prices. It's increasing the monetary supply. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're talking about, with of course, the stimulus bill we just passed, they're talking about, about $1.5 trillion that we know of that they've increased it just this 1 year. We're running a deficit of well over $1 trillion, you know, every year. And this may very well be several $1 trillion a year. You can't do that indefinitely without destroying the currency, as they found out in Zimbabwe.
Well, you're right about that. And I think that, and of course this is a guesstimate, we're looking at 6.75% inflation right now. And I think we'll be seeing 14% by the end of the year, and another effort to extend what they're doing now to a QE3. And the following year, that could very well have inflation anyway between 14 and 30%. And when you get into those levels, you then are approaching hyperinflation. It could happen quicker, or it might take longer. It's very, very difficult to be able to time these things. It's extremely difficult because you don't know what's going to happen in between. Will there be some terrible events? Will there be another war? I mean, what will they do? And, you know, wars don't just happen. They're planned that way.
Absolutely.
And
in fact, so many of the things are planned that way, and they focus our attention on whatever they want to focus our attention on, and they ignore the really important things that are going on in the world.
Well, you're right about that. And so you've got this confluence of these events coming together probably in the fall of the year, and they're going to be terrible. And I think we've got a lot to look out for. Of course, gold and silver will do very well in such an environment because the flight to quality will take place. And that is from the dollar and from other currencies. Into gold and silver. If you look, you'll see that over the past 11 years, every currency in the world, almost every year, has fallen against the dollar, and it has fallen against gold. You're talking overall somewhere between 16 and 18% versus gold and 21% versus silver. And so this ongoing process has been in our face, and most people haven't noticed it. It's like, what has made gold go higher, other than the fact that it's outrageously underpriced? And I believe that over the past 2 years, there's been a fight that most people have missed, and that fight has been for the supremacy of either the dollar or gold over one another. And I think gold's won hands down. And then there's a lot of people yet who don't believe that inflation's 6.75%. They think it's what the government says it is, which is 1.25%. They don't think it'll go to 18%, and when in fact it will. And you know, 3 years ago it was up there. And so it's not unachievable. And of course, government does admit that. They just lie about everything. And so I think that we're going to have this tremendous run at gold and silver, and they're going to trade conspicuously higher. And sooner or later, it'll get out of hand, because the people who have been holding the price down can't continue to do so, because very simply, they don't have the gold and silver to sell into the market. All they can use is derivatives and futures and options, and they only can control markets for short periods of time with those instruments. And then we could have a scandal in the markets where somebody couldn't deliver vast amounts of silver and gold for those who are demanding them. I mean, there's a play going on right now. It has been going on for some time. You go long gold and silver, they go up. And you want delivery, and they say, no, well, we don't want you to take delivery, so we'll pay you 25-30% not to. And what happens is that a lot of traders say, well, you know, that's terrific. I can make money doing that. I can do it every delivery month, so I'm gonna do that. Well, what happens if a lot of them say, no, I think I'll take delivery, and the whole paper market comes cascading down, and that's a distinct possibility. So those kinds of things are lurking out there, and they will continue to lurk out there.
And, of course, as you pointed out in your latest newsletter, why certainly the price of soybeans is up 50%, the commodity markets, certainly wheat is up 80%, corn was up 94%. I mean, these are going to be reflected in the products that are made from this, in the next few months. And certainly the price of Chinese goods is going to go up because of the inflation in China, why the cost of Chinese production. So go to Walmart and stock up on whatever you think you're going to need, because the price is going to be going up. It's not going to be going down. And, of course, as inflation comes, why, it certainly means that everything you have that's denominated in dollars will be worth less and less. And certainly you'll get your Social Security check. Now, we're not going to get any of the raise in Social Security this year. We didn't get it last year because there was no inflation. There was inflation. They lied. There was inflation for federal employees, and they got raises commensurate with the inflation. There was raises for Congress, and they got their raises. But the Social Security recipients aren't going to get their raises because the government says there's no inflation. Well, go down and buy a gallon of gasoline and tell me whether the price is going up. Go to the grocery store and see what's going on there. Watch the commodity market. Look at what's happening in gold and silver. They juggle the figures. The old adage, figures don't lie, but liars figure, was beautifully demonstrated today, and most of them work for the government. And they're told what to do. They come up with figures, says there's no inflation. Ben Bernanke, who said, you know, I'm going to buy $600 billion of T-bills and drive the interest rates down. He drove them up. He also told us he's 100% sure he can stop inflation at any time. We'll be back in just a moment here with Bob Chapman. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Give us a call. We'd love to have your questions for Bob. Well, Bob, one of the interesting things in your latest newsletter was you were talking about the slush funds that found in the Vatican for all these prominent Americans. Were these declared bank accounts?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
And that's calculated by John Williams, or do you calculate that?
What was that last part?
Oh, the inflation rate. You said it was over 6%.
Right. And of course, John Williams agrees with me, and I with him. And I think what's going to happen here is people are finally going to realize that the government is just totally corrupt. Probably about a third of the population realizes that presently, but the rest of them, they just can't believe it. You know, it can't happen here, it couldn't happen here. But it does, it is. And it's going to continue to do so. And it's getting worse.
Well, I really fear that it isn't, because all we can do is try to warn people so they can make their preparations. And certainly they manipulate the price of gold and silver. Why, we say, who are they? Well, I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness, but they tie into the central banks. Basically, we have six major corporations in America today. There's a new book out called 13 Banks, written by a couple of people who are intimately involved with the economic system. They point out that the six major banks hold assets equivalent to 60% of the gross domestic product in the United States, which is, what, $14.5 trillion. And six major banks hold assets equivalent to 60% of that. So you know who's really running the country. And, of course, we have elected representatives, but so many of them are getting their campaign contributions from the banks. The banks are the major source of funding for the presidential elections, congressional elections, and, of course, if you work for the government, when you leave government, why you go back and usually go back to work for the banks. We know that there's going to be a new chief of staff in the White House. Rahm Emanuel is gone. He's going to be replaced by a man named William Daley. Where did he come from?
William Daley.
Yeah, where did he come from? He came from J.P. Morgan Chase. There's going to be a new replacement for Larry Summers, who's retiring. He's the head of the Council of Economic Advisors. Where is this new man coming from? Goldman Sachs. You would think that after a while, people might begin to wondering who's really running the government, wouldn't you, Bob?
You're certainly right. And initial indications with the people who were elected that knocked the incumbents out of office, who was about a 16% change as opposed to 6, which is normal, some of them are going to be as bad as the people who are in there. And, you know, that's why Americans got to understand that you got to wipe more than half of them out. And the American public just doesn't get it. I mean, you can take a hammer and nail and pound it into their heads and they still won't get it. They were incapable of getting it. And when you have a situation like that, you have a degenerative process, and it leaves those who would like to make changes in a position where they can't do it through the system. And that only brings about usually demonstrations and sometimes revolutions.
Well, I think people have to understand that this whole thing, system is set up to protect the banks. I mean, after all, when Henry Paulson got his $750 billion TARP funds, he said, this is for Main Street. I can remember him saying, this is for Main Street. This isn't for Wall Street. When he got his money, hands on the money, it was for Wall Street. It was to bail out the banks. The whole idea, we want people to stay in their homes. Well, we lost 2 or 3 million people have already lost their homes. There are about 5 million homes in one form or another or foreclosure at the present time. And an awful lot of those people are going to lose their homes. And they come up with all these phony, refinancing, and we're gonna keep the people in their homes, and they have no intention of doing anything. Oh, the little tokens here, there. They got to give the people that they're really trying to help out. We're really concerned about the common man, and we're going to give them another tax break. Well, of course, the tax break is going to lead to the destruction of the value of the dollar, the impoverishment of our people when they destroy the value of our currency. But don't worry about the bankers. They're going to make out. They're going to take their money. They're already taking it. Where are they investing it? China, India, South America, Brazil, Russia, they're investing it in the countries that are going to lead the world in the next generation. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Bob, you want to know what's coming, he'll tell you. this is Dr. Stan, and our guest, of course, is Bob Chapin. And right now we have on the line from Tri-Cities up there in the great state of Washington, Leslie. Hi, Leslie. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I'm good. I had a question. There was a soundbite of Hillary Clinton earlier today talking about Mr. Hu from China coming over for talks. And I was just wondering if that's something they regularly do or if there's something special going on with that.
That reminds of the old Abbott and Costello, routine about, is this who or what who's coming? But anyway, do you know anything at all about Mr. Wu coming over? Who or Bob?
Well, yes, I've heard of him coming over, and we don't know what they're going to talk about. We'll never know the truth, but I would suspect that the missiles that they've been shooting off the coast of the United States will be something that they will delve into. And, of course, the dollar and where is it headed and the fiscal and monetary policies of the United States. I imagine those are the top agenda things, and we'll get what they want us to have from the meeting.
And I think it's really very interesting, as Bob pointed out, why, of course, it was not only the missile that went off from a submarine in Southern California off the coast of Santa Barbara, there was another one down in the Gulf a couple of weeks later. And then, of course, they have their new stealth fighter, which is equivalent to our best stealth fighter. And why would they demonstrate that just when the Secretary of Defense Gates goes over there? I mean, obviously, China is sending a message. And behind all of this, ladies and gentlemen, you must understand there are powerful spiritual forces that are directing these world leaders. I think it's only a matter of time before we're in war with China. We're doing everything we can to build up the Chinese military. We're transferring them our technology. We are creating the best enemy that money could buy, and our leaders know exactly what they're doing. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We have Leslie on the line from Tri-Cities. Leslie, did you have anything else you wanted to ask before we let you go?
Yeah, what Hillary Clinton was saying was, she came out saying, she's talking about China coming, and she was saying, we've all got to work together. And I just thought it was unusual for her to say something like that before they've talked. So I just wondered if they were kind of already planning on making some kind of deal that we weren't going to be too happy about.
Bob, thoughts on that?
Well, I think that is a very strong possibility. And it is unusual that somebody would speak ahead of such a meeting accepting the office of the president. So I think Leslie's on to something. I think something's going to come out that's going to be a change. But the Chinese, they're deliberately, like almost all other nations, lowered the value of their currency since the past 15 years, and we've got to pay for it by losing 8.5 million high-paying jobs and 42,400 businesses, manufacturing companies usually, of one form or another. And unless we put tariffs in place on goods and services, this is never going to stop. This place will be like some animal farm or something. There'll be nothing here to do.
And basically, of course, Leslie, there's an organized effort to transfer our manufacturing capacity out of this country. People don't understand. This is long-range planning. I mean, we have an interview, back in 1969, talking about the plan to transfer production out of this country. And you read the publications of the Council on Foreign Relations, Foreign Affairs magazine, that's, tell you, that's what we're going to do. We're going to transfer our manufacturing out of the United States. As the defense analysis just came out here, maybe about a month ago, and it talks where we're going to be in 2020 and 2025, where the power has shifted. Now, this is American intelligence analysis. The power is going to shift from the United States to the so-called BRIC nations. That is the plan of our leaders, because, of course, their loyalty is not to America, but to the globalist dream. Anything else, Leslie, before we let you go?
Somebody was telling me the other day that the euro has more value than our dollar. Is that true?
Bob, is that true? Does the euro have more value than the dollar?
It has been that way for some time. The euro got down to about 88 about 10 years ago, and it's traded as high as 160 approximately. And it's currently around 131, 132. So the euro for approximately 10 years has traded higher than the value of the dollar.
Their economy, I always thought, was so much worse than ours. Is it just because we're creating money?
Well, I think that's part of it. But, you know, a lot of what goes on in Europe is not noticeable. And what I mean by that is, You have these things going on that people can't see. And in Europe, you have this kind of like a floor underneath. This floor holds the European economies up. It's called socialism. And how they finance that, and there is deficit financing, of course. But how they finance that is through taxation. And a combination of income tax, as we know it, and VAT tax, which is a value-added tax, is 70%. That's 70. We're in the United States. We don't have a VAT. We have state and federal taxes, which usually aggregate something in the order of 40%. And so what you have a much lower rate of taxation, and you don't have the benefits that Europe supposedly has for their people. So these benefits cover up a lot of the problems that Europe has. And you got to remember that about 42% of what goes on in the Eurozone is Germany. And then about another 30% is in France. So that's 72% out of 17 countries. And that is substantial. And so that's how they have been able to go along sideways, but even their situation is deteriorating, with perhaps the exception of Germany.
And
then you have the money that they're going to have to come up with. The solvent nations have committed $1 trillion in round figures. They've got six countries in serious trouble. What's it going to cost? I projected this last May, over $3 trillion, maybe $3.5 trillion, maybe even more. And those nations can't afford to come up with that kind of money. It's going to break them and put them in the same position as the people they're trying to help.
And I think it's important for people to realize that we put out over 20% of our budget is for military, and we are defending Germany and France and Japan. We are providing defense for nations all throughout the world. If they had to provide their own defense, why, it would be ever so much more expensive. They would have to pay a fair share. They do not pay a fair share. American taxpayers are paying for the socialism that exists in France and Germany. I mean, they can afford to put their money into all the benefits for the people because we're paying for their defense. I think that's all going to change. I think there are going to be dramatic cuts in the defense spending. The average American doesn't know it yet, but that's what the plan is. In fact, we're going to cut everything. We're going to cut either directly or indirectly Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and all sorts of programs and the Department of Defense. But the American people don't understand this is all part of the program to lower our living standards and impoverish the American people. And if you don't believe it now, you will. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. I guess Leslie's been calling us. Leslie, anything else before we let you go?
No, thank you. I love you guys.
God bless, and thanks so much for calling. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was Leslie calling from Tri-Cities, and if you're out there across America and you want to talk to somebody who's really smart, we have with us, of course, Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster, and he's been at this for 50 years, and he has a tremendous background in understanding of the financial structure. And, of course, basically what people don't understand is there is a brotherhood of darkness. Basically, you can look at everything from a financial point of view, from an economic point of view, and a lot of it doesn't really make sense. They've made it intentionally confusing. But behind that are powerful spiritual forces. And when you understand that, well, you can understand what's really going on, because there is a common denominator. There's an age-old plan. It's been around for 4,000 years. What's the goal? World government. That's what globalism is all about. That's why America has troops stationed in 130 nations, 724 in military bases, special forces, kill teams stationed in 75 nations throughout the world. And if you are the ruler of one of those nations, you look over your shoulder all the time because they kill people. If you don't believe it, you need to read the book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins, Double Cross by Chuck Giancano. He was the brother of San Giancano. He talks about how they send the mafia overseas to either kill or arrange for the killing of world leaders. But we're not talking about something imaginary. We're talking about something real. And you out there in the listening audience are involved in this. You're financing it. And men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And the price good men pay for their apathy and indifference to public affairs is they're ruled by evil men. And all that's necessary for evil to triumph is a good people. Do nothing. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Bob said, as we see this whole thing unfolding, the economy seems to be picking up a little bit. They tell us that the unemployment's down. Of course, one reason for that is so many people actually have just given up looking for work, and they don't count on them anymore when they've given up looking for work. But they tell us, well, things are really getting better. We poured all these trillions of dollars of money created out of nothing into the economy, and one day we're going to pull it out. But if they pull it out, the whole thing will collapse, and if they leave it there, it'll lead to inflation. It doesn't seem to me they've got any real good options, do they?
No, they don't. In fact, they don't have any option at all other than quantitative easing. And they're going to have to decide somewhere along the way exactly what they're going to do or when they are going to cease the game that they're playing. Although there's no way of telling how long that will take. It could be in 6 months to a year, or it could be several years. We don't know. We have been fooled so often by what's going on and the surprises that we've seen that you just really can't put a handle on it.
But I don't think there's any question that prices will be going up this year. I mean, how soon, I don't know. But would you, certainly when you see commodity prices going up as they have been, although they were off a little bit today, but prices really is booming up on soybeans and corn and wheat, and certainly many of the metals are going up. Why is it, that's reflected, what, about 6 months down the line and a dramatic rise in inflation?
Right, but you do have the undertow, I call it, of deflation caused by the fall in the value of assets. And when you have that, you have this drain coming each and every day, and so you have to create inflation, and the inflation is something that you can't gradate. You always have to create more than what is needed, because you never know just what the formula is, and that's why we have inflation. And, of course, that's why government lies about it, and that's important for them to do, because if they can't do that, then the game is over.
I think it was so interesting when, I think it was it Scott Pelley or Croft who interviewed Alan, pardon me, Bernanke here a couple of weeks ago on 60 Minutes, and I think it was Steve Croft, I could be mistaken, but basically it got to the point where Bernanke was talking about we were going to have to produce inflation. You know, we'd had to get the inflation rate up to 2%, it was less than that, and of course the question was from Pelley or from Steve Croft, but are you sure you can stop it? Oh, I'm certain. Well, are you 100% certain? I'm 100% certain. This is the gentleman who told us we're going to have quantitative easing so we could drop the interest rates on bonds, and the interest rates went up instead. Can we really trust him to be able to control inflation, or does he really want to control inflation? I'd like to suggest I don't think he does, but let's go to Ernie right now. He's in Eastern Washington. Hi, Ernie. You have a question for Bob?
Yes, I do. Gentlemen, good to be on. Question. I have someone I know who's moving to South America, and he wants to know the best way to transport his gold, silver, and gold jewelry.
Well, first of all, the first thing that he has to find out is the rules in the country that he intends to go to pertaining to bringing gold and silver into that country. And each country is different. And also the countries which he is going to go through. I mean, let's say he's going to Tierra del Fuego. He might make five stops in five countries along the way. And when he gets to the country he's going to, which is Chile, then what he's going to have to do is be in line with their laws there. So he must find out exactly what the rules are along the way and the countries that he's going to.
And doesn't he actually have to declare that to our own government if he takes some money out of the country?
I don't know what the rule on that is. I've heard conflicting stories. But the way to go about it is really to go to the U.S. Treasury Department and find out what you have to do. There's no rules against taking gold out of the country or silver. It's just that you have to conform to the law. And the law might say, well, you can take out as much gold as you want. You just let us know what you're taking out.
Okay.
But I don't know that.
Anything else, Ernie?
You must find out.
Right.
No, he was going to put everything on a cargo ship because that was the cheapest way to transport everything down. He has a vehicle and some belongings, so I didn't know if you have to declare what's in that cargo.
Well, of course.
Okay, very good.
Okay, fine. Thanks very much, Ernie. Let's go to Al, who's calling from Nice. Is that Nice, California?
That is Nice, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Once again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Al, did you have a question for Bob?
I have a question for Bob Chapman. Bob, according to an article on the 13th by Tyler Durden, in just the first week of January, the U.S. Mint had sold 2,221,000 ounces of silver. And then in the subsequent 3 days, that number almost doubled. It went to 3,477,000 ounces. of silver in just the first 12 days of January, which outsells nine separate months in 2010. How in the world can this take place and silver drops?
And the reason why is that JPM, GS, HSBC, and Citi are all using derivatives to drive the price down.
These are all big banks, JP Morgan Chase, Hong Kong, Singapore Bank Corporation. Yeah, it's all manipulated, Al. That's what Bob is saying. They manipulate the price of silver and gold, and they manipulate the prices on so many things here. But they can only do it for so long. Anything else, Al?
Well, I guess that's it. I understand that they do manipulate the prices, but they sold out completely. I mean, totally sold out of silver, and yet they dropped the price, and the people are allowing them to do that. I don't know.
I guess
we just have to wake up.
Okay, fine. I agree with you totally, Al. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, both of you.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, Bob, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program. What
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.
Insight into what's going on, and we always enjoy his remarks. Basically, of course, the last thing we want is violence in America. What we want is to expose the Brotherhood of Darkness and to call these subversive elements, and they are subversive elements. Many of them have sworn an oath to uphold our Constitution while they entered government service, to destroy our Constitution, to destroy our sovereignty, and merge us into a world government. That's what it's all about. We were talking this afternoon about a wonderful little book written by Deborah Ray called The ABCs of Globalism. And it simply takes all the issues that we deal with today. When we get to B, we have Blavatsky, we have Sidney Bailey, we have C, CFR, and she just goes through what's going on, this democracy, what is a democracy, and why we're not a democracy. And ABCs of Globalism is a great little book. It's available from Radio Liberty. To understand the spiritual component of what's going on, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, Ted Flynn's book, The Hope of the Wicked, Jim Marr's book, Ruled by Secrecy, and they all more or less cover the same things. Jim Marr's doesn't get so much into the spiritual aspect of his my book and Ted Flynn's book, but the books are important. You need to understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle, and behind with everything going on politically and financially and all the efforts, of course, to enrich the bankers and impoverish the people, are these powerful spiritual forces moving us towards the New World Order, the New World Religion, and the New World Leader. Did you ever wonder why America sent its troops over to invade Iraq, to take over the country, and then to bring it under Sharia law so they could drive the Christians out of the country? I mean, under Saddam Hussein, as corrupt as he was, but remember, we brought him to power. He had worked for the CIA. You can check this out on the Internet, all sorts of articles. We've got books written 20 years ago talking about how the CIA trained Saddam as an assassin back in the late 1950s, and the first time he was supposed to kill somebody, why he got violently ill to his stomach and didn't do a good job, and the man survived the assassination attempt. But we just kept working with him, and eventually why we know what a monster we created. And we provided him with a poison gas that was used to kill 100,000 people in Kurdistan. We provided him with a poison gas. We've got an article certainly from the Washington Post. We'll send you. It's called When an Ally Becomes an Enemy. Now, here's the Washington Post admitting we sent the biological and chemical warfare agents, and we funded Saddam Hussein, the wicked Saddam Hussein. And then, of course, we sent our troops in, and we destroyed the infrastructure of the country. When we went in, of course, they had electricity, they had water, they had an organized society. We destroyed their economy. We destroyed the infrastructure. We drove the Christians out. Today, of course, you have an unstable country where, of course, there's bombings on a regular basis. And, of course, we could have simply split the country into three parts, as we should have. It was never a real country to begin with. It was created by the British back after the First World War to be unstable so they could dominate it. And that's exactly what we want. We want an unstable nation there that we can dominate, and that's we can then justify keeping our troops there indefinitely. After all, I mean, we went in, all those American boys died, and we've got to keep our troops there so that their sacrifice was not for... Ladies and gentlemen, it's all manipulated. They don't care how many American boys die because they're funding between the Bank of England and the CIA. They're funding Al-Qaeda and Taliban, the best enemies money could buy. If you haven't actually seen the article about Lord James, who on the 3rd or 4th of November talked about how he was funding the terrorists billions of pounds from the Bank of London to give to terrorists, let's Lord James, go to your internet search engine, type in Belfast Telegraph, Lord James, funding terrorists. Our number 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. And then please pray for Radio Liberty. Thank you. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Lisa Dunn, who, of course, has written a book called Emerge. And Lisa, do you have your PhD? I know you're working on it.
I do, Dr. Stan. I finished last year.
Okay, fine. Well, then you finished before the book was done. And of course, she is married to a minister. She has two beautiful children. Their pictures are on the back of the book. And of course, she had some help from a fellow named Joel Johnson. But this book is Emerge. Well, I'm going to let you tell our listeners why you call it Emerge. I know why, because I read the book, but why, what's this idea of Emerge? What is this analogous to?
Well, I love the subtitle. We say cracking the cocoon of media socialization, and the word emerge coupled with the word cocoon, to me, is a great word picture. We are surrounded, we are enveloped in this cocoon of mass media that's interpreting our reality for us, and it is high time that we began to break out, emerge from that cocoon.
And I think that's so true. I mean, we can see that beautiful example of media manipulation now, day after day. What is the story we're going to hear now? All about Gabriella Gifford, about Jared Lockman, and of course his fact that we've got to have gun control because, after all, none of us are safe now. Jared Lochner is his name, and of course the police knew about it. The sheriff down there had his people out to check on Jared a number of times, but of course, knowing full well that the sheriff's office had not done what it should. What did the sheriff say immediately after the shooting? Why it was Rush Limbaugh? Why it was Sarah Palin? It is the climate of hate. It is hate speech, toxic speech. Here's the sheriff who knew this was an unstable young man who had actually threatened the congresswoman, and what did he do? Absolutely nothing. And you have to ask yourself why. Certainly the campus authorities knew that, but they focus our attention on that. Day after day, evening after evening, this is all we've heard. I mean, there are lots of terrible things happening. A lot of people being killed over in Afghanistan, innocent women and children being killed by the drone attacks in Yemen, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, with our tax money. But we don't talk about that. We focus on what happened in Arizona because they want to use it to get through new legislation. And as you point out so well in your book, the media is used to manipulate us. Would that be a fair appraisal?
Oh, I think daily in what we see, in what we think, in how we think, in how we process information. I teach at the university here just outside Sacramento, and boy, every day we're dealing with this with students and teaching them how to break free of the mindset that they're being sold, the package deal of world values every day that they're sold.
Well, I know. I was a victim of the University of California education back in the late 1940s. And basically, I mean, it took me years to unlearn everything I had learned in education. Of course, we'd heard the same thing already on radio and television. Television had just come in. Television came in 1946. Television, as you point out, how powerful it is in shaping of the minds and the reality of our citizens. And, of course, the whole idea of the cocoon is like the butterfly. We've got to get out of the cocoon. We've got to be able to think and act independently if we want to be free. And I think it's a beautiful analogy. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Lisa Dunn, her book, Emerge. And that's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I do what I do. I want you to emerge as well. Well, Lisa, you go right ahead, pick the story up.
Pardon me?
You go right ahead and you tell the story that you're trying to get out in your book.
Oh, okay.
No, go right ahead. Don't depend on me. I want you to just pick up and you start talking about the message that you try to get out.
Okay, I will. We're on a break right now.
No, we're not. We're broadcasting here all over the Monterey Bay area, and people are waiting for you.
Okay, well, I think that one of the greatest challenges today is that we are unaware of the ways that we're being impacted and the ways that we're being kind of trained to think. And I think for a lot of parents, there's so much distraction. There are so many messages. There's so much information. And parents really have to make a conscious effort to decide what is going to be allowed into the home and how we're going to use that information. And one of the things that we talk about in the book is becoming media literate. And that is, we are in a culture, as you've said many times, Dr. Stanoff, just being surrounded by media and enveloped in media. And so we've got to be able to learn to dissect these messages that are being thrust upon us. And we've got to teach our kids, the next generation, to be able to do that as well.
Well, but how do they do that? I mean, all they hear is simply one side. I mean, there's so many things they will never hear, you know, through the control media, whether it be television or radio or newspapers or magazines. They're just never going to hear the truth. How are they going to learn to think and to challenge and to question?
Well, I think it's a great question. And at the end of the game, it's going to come down to parents being involved in their kids' lives, not being bystanders, not being, you know, we were talking earlier about Jared Loughner, and there was an article in AP today about FERPA and how much people feel like their hands are tied at colleges and universities because of the Rights to Privacy Act. And I think one of the challenges in FERPA that really underscores what we're dealing with in our country is it doesn't default to accountability. It defaults to isolationism. You know, if a student does not sign away his rights to his parent, then when I look at a student's file, I don't have the right, quote unquote, to talk to his or her parents. And so what we do is we cut off this source of information, we as an institution, where parents could be the ones in the game. And this question was posed in an article today. And I do talk quite a bit about FERPA and Emerge because it is, I think it does illustrate very well this kind of diabolical position that we find ourselves
hold in. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Lisa Dunn. Her book has emerged, and basically she's pointing out that the students have a very difficult time of being able to think effectively because they're constantly being barraged by television. And the television, of course, as she points out, can change our attitude, and she gives example after example how television changes the way we look at the world. And they know it does, whether it's through advertisements or social goals. And she points in that how they utilize the idea of a designated driver. They weave it into the various programs and in the advertisements and into the sitcoms and all of these things. Dedicated driver becomes then a way of life, the way we think. We are constantly being manipulated. Now, she talks about, of course, in the universities where, of course, the teacher there is concerned about a student. There are federal regulations. What do you call those regulations that restricts your ability to contact the parents?
It's FERPA, the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. It was established in 1974, and it's archaic, but it's still a part of our system, and it keeps, you know, it was kind of part of that values clarification movement of protect students from their parents. And it is still with us, alive and powerful, needs to be overturned.
All right. Is this federal legislation?
It is. It's called FERPA. It's the Federal Educational Rights to Privacy Act. And basically, when a student enters a college or university environment, the student signs paperwork and says on a number of checklists, do I want to give my parents access to my grades? Do I want to give my parents access to my medical records? Do I want to give my parents access to my financial records? And if the student does not check anything, it defaults to anonymity. In other words, if there's no check, a teacher and administrator cannot talk to the student's parent. The student has to actually physically enter, yes, you may talk to, yes, you may, and list the name, actually, of the person. It could be a, you know, a parent or a relative. But a lot of people aren't even aware of what FERPA means and how what that protects students from, in essence, is their parents' right to know, even if their parents are funding their education, which is, again, crazy.
Why don't you actually just do the opposite? You've got to check if you don't want them to. I mean,
exactly. It should default, and that is the problem. That, I think, just illustrates that whole inherent structure of we're pulling out what's most important in the student's life. What's the most important recourse and source for a student? A faculty member is not a father, and that's an unfair burden, really, to put on an administration. It's obviously it's not the same weight. And so, but we have a habit of doing that in our country, don't we, Dr. Stan, where we just take the role out of the parent's hand and put it in the quote-unquote professional, instead of pouring into parents, instead of teaching parents how to parent their kids, instead of reminding them of that mantle of authority that's placed on their shoulders.
Well, of course, the foundation of a society is belief in God, a belief in family, and a belief in country. Well, of course, they've pretty well destroyed God, taking God out of our schools and out of our colleges, and they teach evolution as fact, and they won't allow any mention at all of the possibility there might even be intelligent design. Family, why, of course, they've done everything they could to undermine the family in so many respects, whether it be rewarding women who, of course, you get rid of their husbands so they can get welfare checks. You got a husband in the house, you can't get the money, get rid of the husband, you can get the money. We reward people for destroying the family. You can't discipline your children. And then as far as country is concerned, why, of course, globalism was really important, this wonderful new world that lies ahead. They've done a pretty good job of that in our educational system. Your husband's a minister, isn't he?
He is. My husband's a pastor, and I'm blessed to teach at a Christian university, so I get to see both the students who've been impacted by this worldview and those who are, not that everyone hasn't, but those who are charging forward and say, you know, I'm ready to make a change, I'm ready to break free, I'm ready to shape this culture for the better. And that's what's really exciting about our Gen Yers. There is a heart cry out there, and it's not all bad news. We've got some students, we've got some world changers poised and ready to take over the next generation.
Well, tell us, what's this university you're teaching at? There's really a Christian university here in California?
Yes, believe it or not, William Jessup University. Oh, we've got some great Christian universities in California. And William Jessup is one of them. And really, to look out in the eyes of students, I wish sometimes that the rest of the world could see that hope in them, because, boy, when people are just living on a diet of bad news all the time, they could be really despairing about the future.
Well, you know, if we believe, as the secular society would have us believe, that man is an accident, he's not unique, basically, he's an accident of nature, he evolved from the slime, and you live and you die, and there's no meaning to life. Why, yeah. A little wonder many of our young people, like Jared, are hopeless. I mean, instead of registering guns or confiscating the guns or collecting the guns, I think we ought to put the Ten Commandments back in the classroom, but then, of course, that's such a revolutionary idea that maybe if this young man had been raised with belief and fear of God, he might have turned out entirely differently. Well, let's get back to your book, though, because I want our listeners to know some of the examples you use here of how we're surrounded and bombarded by this media, and it shapes our views on literally everything. So you pick up the story.
One of the exciting and sobering discoveries when I was researching for the book was of the impact of music. And, of course, in Gen Yers and millennial generation is just flooded with songs all the time. I do some exercises in one of my classes where I have my students do a media fast, and we see how long they can go without their cell phone and without turning on music in the car and without turning on the television or watching something on YouTube, and it is a real struggle for some of them. Now, some are able to really go for it, and they exchange that time for something rich, some great fellowship with a face-to-face human, but others really struggle because that connection is so powerful for them. One of the exercises we do is we analyze the top 10 song lyrics of any given semester. And it's really eye-opening because we'll look at the global view. You know, what is being sold to students, to kids, to 8-year-olds in our culture. It's really frightening. Music, University of North Carolina did a powerful study on the impact of music a few years back, and they found that for teens and young adults, music is actually the most impacting driver of behavior, of human behavior. And we don't know if that's because they're just listening to it all the time and it's kind of getting into them in a kind of a way that they're not aware of, or if it's the power of the spoken word that God has given that power to. But for whatever reason it is, song lyrics are very impacting. And so I encourage parents to make sure they know what their kids are listening to, because that it can be a very subtle influence.
And it's not only the words of the music, it's the beat of the music. And basically, it was Aristotle who said, you know, let me control the music and I can control society. And I really believe that's true. The beat of the music has an impact on us.
Yeah, language. Music is a language.
It is. You're absolutely right. And so I think that, well, of course, you're at least pointing this out to your students. I wish when I'd have been a victim of a higher education that I had somebody who taught me to challenge. Of course, all I did was just like a sponge. I was absorbing all of these things without ever giving them any thought or questioning. I mean, the university professor was almost like a god. He knew everything, and my job was to learn what he knew. And it took me so long to unlearn the things that I learned at university. Fortunately, I had a profession, so I could utilize that, which was a factual thing. And there was nothing that they could, even some of the things I learned about the use of medications, I shudder when I think what some of the medications I gave to people when I was practicing medicine. Mm. Well, basically, of course, into how the brain works and basically the physiology of the brain. But isn't it more really the what is funneled into our brain? Isn't that the real important issue?
Well, I think it's interesting to note, I talk a lot about this, just the social psychology aspect of how we become who we are and how we are creatures of context and culture, that we're wired for a relationship. Even Dan Siegel, who's a UCLA neuroscientist, he talks about the brain being hardwired, being genetically programmed to be altered in the context of relationships. And so when we're spending time, you know, King Solomon warned us, don't when we walk in the company of someone who's not wise, we're going to become unwise. If we befriend an angry man, we'll learn his ways and get ourselves ensnared. We are creatures of context, and so when we think about the kinds of friends, you know, if the average young adult in our country, as Kaiser Family Foundation says, is taking in 7 hours and 38 minutes a day of screen time, then those virtual friends are having some kind of impact on their life, undoubtedly.
Well, now, how does the media manipulate us emotionally?
Now, that is a really great question.
Well, I know that's one of your questions on the list that you wrote on. Go ahead.
You know, we are American culture. It's remarkable. My husband is British, and so I get this wonderful view in terms of the global perspective, because his family will send us different clips and different perspectives of how our culture is viewed. And it's really eye-opening, but Americans are viewed as being such an emotional people, that we all have our own kind of personal psychologist and, you know, pour out our troubles to strangers. And Mark Crispin Miller, University of New York professor, said that advertising sells anxiety. And I think it's such a powerful quote, because we're advertised to constantly and we're so anxious about everything. It's just become part of our worldview.
I know, and basically the media shapes our minds, molds our tastes, creates her ideas, and what we have to understand is we've got to be able to think separately from the media. And I'll never forget, it was probably 48 years ago when I first learned what was going on and became aware of media manipulation, and when I could begin to think independently and read an article or watch a television program and say not what it said, but what are they trying to tell me? How are they trying to manipulate me? What are they trying to convince me that isn't true? What a wonderful feeling of freedom I had. We'll be right back with Lisa Dunn. Well, Lisa, you basically talk about...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
It was probably close to 20 years ago when a fellow named Steve Voss wrote a song, and it went to the words, the American dream has become a nightmare. The signs are on cardboard in corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities, and an unspoken word, we're on our way down. We've got to take America back. And it was an immediate hit, and had a nice, bumpy, jumpy tune to it, and then, of course, Steve got a large contract from RCA, a great deal of money for the song. It was number one hit all across America, and it was going on a national tour. Until the night before he was to leave, RCA announced the song. He was not going on the trip. He was going to be able to keep his money, but he couldn't sing the song again. They were pulling the song, they were pulling the records. Why? Because it talked about taking America back. It talked about crime in our cities. It talked about the fact that our politicians were sticking us and bleeding us and taking all our money and sending it abroad. And the part of it talked about abortion and the fact that there were suddenly we had there were more bullets and birth control in our schools, and something was wrong. And something is wrong. And they didn't want that message out, so they simply censored it. RCA censored it, blacklisted Steve Voss, so he could never get any notoriety after that. They destroyed this young man. They let him keep the money, but they destroyed his song because it was a good song, and it talked about patriotism and love of country and even God, and that's the last thing that the media wants. They know how powerful media is. The song, you can get it on the Internet, We Must Take America Back. Well, now, basically, you talk about entertainment, education, and why it's dangerous. Why is entertainment, education dangerous, and what is entertainment, education?
Well, entertainment, education is a construct that's used where media is initiating widespread change. So let's say that a country has a problem with one of the first designs is population control. And so this team of experts would come in and they create this movie or this radio drama or this song or whatever kind of construct is going to be used that has a popular character engaging in a certain kind of behavior that particular country wants to instill in the hearts of its citizens. And so it can be absolutely used for good. Most often, however, the way entertainment education is used is to promote the views of whatever lobbyist is footing the bill for that particular show. I give the example of the designated driver, which you mentioned earlier, and it's a great example because it's a powerful construct. It was very effective. It from 1988 to 1990, 161 sitcoms were instructed to play a designated driver, a well-liked character that would be emulated by the American people. And it was a good campaign in that the goal was to decrease the rate of incidents with drunk drivers. The reason it was effective was because they didn't come with the normal approach of don't. They said, if you're going to drink, use this designated driver concept, and that's largely the success of the model. But 161 sitcoms portrayed that character, and within that two-year time frame, 89% of the adult population and 97% of the 18 to 24 population reported being familiar with and looking favorably upon the concept. So it's such a fascinating idea, because then you think about, okay, well, what are some of the commonalities today on media? Well, one that I talk about often in my class and I talk about when my husband and I speak together at church is that men in our country are being portrayed in a light that is very damaging. I challenge my students to think of one sitcom where the husband is the guy who's got it all together, and they can't because it's the opposite. The woman has it all together. The man is a loser. He probably can't hold down a job, and if he needs to know something, he should just ask his five-year-old child, because the child is surely smarter than the father. And so you've got this whole attack on the manhood. Now look at the trajectory. You look at college education in our country, the decrease in enrollments of men is 10% in a decade. They've been told they're not good enough, not smart enough. It's impacting the worldview.
Well, no question at all. I was thinking of, as I read your book, I was thinking of ER, a very, very popular program. And Chrissy had one of the characters, this woman, you really identified with her, and she became a lesbian. And she was just, she had an unfortunate affair with a man, and she became a lesbian, and this lesbian love affair. And you equated with her, you sympathized with her, you identified with her. And all of this, of course, is a planned program to change our attitude towards homosexuality in every aspect of our society. It's planned, it's programmed, it's very clever.
It's very clever.
We're
Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest is Lisa Dunn, and we're talking about her book, Emerge. And basically, you talk about the concept of drug addiction and TV viewing. Was that what you were referring to before? Well, of course, you were really talking about people not listening to music and for a period of time, but it's almost the same thing with television, isn't it?
It really is. This concept of the drug addiction component, it has two really interesting facets. Pete Hamill, former Washington Post writer, mentioned this years ago, the idea that the television addict was much like the drug addict. He was on a beat of interviewing a woman in a rundown apartment while her kids sat and stared at the television, and he walked outside and glanced in the doorway and saw that same vacant glaze in the drug addict's eye, and he thought, there's something connecting these two. And many researchers have looked at the idea of the vicarious emotion, and that could be, you mentioned music, the beat of music, other things that can drive that. But for living, for having an emotion that one did not earn, an excitement or a sadness or an elation, and having that over and over and over, it's quite possible that we are not wired to have those emotional highs and lows and ups and downs on such a constant basis, but that the viewing of those on a constant basis is actually changing the way we feel and the way we manifest emotions.
And it's really so interesting. You watch a television program, and so many of them, if they're a drama, there's music in the background, and you're not even aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's influencing your mood.
Yeah.
And, of course, when it's dangerous, you hear the music of danger. And when it's happy, you hear the music of happiness. And the music and the visual and the storyline all combine to control our mind, and we don't even realize our mind is being controlled. It's ingenious.
It is, and we don't know when to laugh unless there's a laugh track that tells us something is funny. Absolutely.
And of course, they know you, and basically they laugh, and you laugh with them, and what's that old adage? Laugh and you laugh with them, everyone laughs with you, and cry and you cry alone. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Lisa Dunn, and her book, Emerge. And before, if you have a question for Lisa, okay, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And this is really a fascinating book, going into the impact of television on the mind of the American people. Now, before we go on, do you have a website, or do you want to tell our listeners how they can get copies of your book?
Sure, drlisadunn.com. That's drlisadunne.com, and it's also available on Amazon as well.
And you teach at the college how often?
I teach 3 days a week at the university. I teach developmental psychology and interpersonal communication. And again, great students give me hope for the next generation.
Well, I think that you're very fortunate, because these parents have enough, confidence and love for their children. They're willing to put out the phenomenal amount of money it costs to go to university today. Why these have got to be kids coming from very, very good homes. I mean, the education is getting just so ridiculously expensive.
It really is. Well, there are a lot of scholarships, and our students are actually from around the world. I had a student from South Africa in my class last semester, and there are students who are definitely connected around a cause, and that is shaping the next generation for the better, taking it back.
Right. Well, that's the only way we're going to do it. Some of us are not going to be around too much longer, but hopefully we'll be around to see as things develop. Now, how much power does the mass media have as far as its social influence? Is it really shaping our society?
But it has as much power as we give it, and right now we're giving it a whole lot of power. Again, one of the reasons for that is we're very distracted. There's just so much information being thrown at us on a day-to-day basis. Most statistics say that we see, just in a visual ad, 3,000 ads a day. And that's just one small example of the way that we're being impacted. And so we are, if we don't get outside of the cocoon and begin to think and begin to rationalize and begin to understand what some of these messages are, we absolutely are going to be influenced. Of course they're powerful. Why would a company pay millions of dollars for a 30-second ad during the Super Bowl if it wasn't impacting? We know that it's impacting. That's why they pay the big bucks.
Well, now, how can people get to your website? How can people get your book?
Well, book, Amazon.com, also available on the website, drlisadunne.com. And I have a lot of fun stuff on the site, a lot of different research focuses and tests and some other fun tips and tools as well to really help inspire parents and teens and pastors and people working in youth ministry to really help our teens and our young adults, because they're the ones that are really being bombarded. It's triple the amount, it's quadruple the amount that even when I was growing up. And so to really to give them some tools to be able to survive this media deluge, that would be...
Well, now, what about the Internet? Basically, this is something new. This is a new phenomenon. And I know very well that the first thing I do every morning is get on and go through all my emails. And then it's just look at several websites. And, you know, it's certainly I have certain things that come in on a regular basis. If they don't come in, I almost feel empty.
Yeah. Well, the Internet, just like any of these sources of information, can have a positive side. Absolutely. You know, most of my students are very plugged in. They're Facebooking, they're tweeting, they're connected socially. One of the challenges, though, that we find in this generation is that people are using virtual connectivity as a replacement for face-to-face. And face-to-face communication has a warmth. Our nonverbal communication is very powerful. We're wired for the context of that warmth. And so there's a lot of isolation because people are using that form. You know, we'll have people who, they'll email each other from one office to the other instead of getting up and going over and asking a question. It's the habit that we get into. So it's a great support, virtual connectivity, excellent support for existing relationships, but it's not a replacement for face-to-face relationships.
Well, it's a wonderful source of information. You just have to be very, very discerning when you do this because you can't always trust this, Frank. There's an intentional effort sometimes to put disinformation up there. The government agencies spend a great deal of money to program our minds, and if we let them, why then they'll utilize the Internet to mislead us.
Oh, there's so much misleading information on the Internet. It's quite comical, actually, just to kind of compare the two sides for and against on any given issue on any given day. But again, it can be a resource. We've got to teach media literacy. We've got to teach ourselves and our students and our children how to be able to read these messages. So looking at both sides of the story, knowing, if I go to a Monsanto site, I know what they're going to be promoting, and I'm going to need to balance that out with, I need to get some other resources. A lot of work and research is excellent in that. But giving some tools to the next generation so that they can sift through this stuff.
And you have to learn who you can trust. I mean, there's certain people that write articles. I know I can trust them. And that they've done the research on this. No, none of us are perfect, but they've done a lot of research and they've really tried to get accurate information. And other sites I go to where I know, of course, I'm going to be programmed with all sorts of disinformation that's been put there to mislead me. Well, now, basically, you talk about media socialization that's made us a nation of excess. What are you talking about?
Well, one of the things I'm talking about there is just the desire for more. I contrast my husband's upbringing with mine. No, he lived in it, you get a job in England and you pretty much you stay in that job your whole life, like my grandparents did in America. You know, they had the same job their whole life, but then the next generation is a couple of jobs. Now today's teens, 8 to 10 or 8 to 12. Jobs by the time there's this kind of sense of unrest, and my husband's home, it was 100 years old. He lived in the same home his whole life until we got married 20 years ago and he moved to America. But the contrast with our culture is house to house to house, and bigger and better. And there's this just drive for this competitive nature in American culture of wanting more and more and more. And of course, again, if we're marketed to 3,000 times a day, there's going to be a drive. If we don't look for that message in there, we're going to kind of be propelled along.
I agree with you totally. Well, are there statistics on the effect of sexualized programming on teen pregnancies and sexually transmitted diseases?
Oh, yeah. Talk about a lot about this topic because we have really have an epidemic of sexually transmitted infections. We look at our country today, we've got 8,000 teens a day contracting an STD, an STI. That's 3 million this year that will be infected. That is a tragedy in our culture. And when we look at the song lyrics that are violent and promiscuous, and we look at the shows and the relationships on shows, they're not between married people who are in a godly relationship. They're one-night stands, or they're at a party and they meet someone. So these are the ways that kids are being trained to behave. They're trying to understand the adult world, and they're seeing celebrities that they admire, you know, going from guy to guy to guy, relationship to relationship, and they're not putting the pieces together. They're not seeing the tragic fallout at the end of that. And so I think we're really setting the next generation up for divorce. We're setting them up for disease if we don't begin to speak some truths about these. There's a powerful book that just came out called Hooked that deals with a lot of this information in terms of our biochemistry and how we're wired, and how when we go from relationship to relationship, that it's like sticky tape, and eventually, you know, you try to stick that tape again and again and again, and eventually it loses its stickiness. And that's what a lot of our kids are dealing with today, because they're going from relationship to relationship, and they're sick physically, they're infected, and they're infected mentally as well.
And that, I think, is one of the great problems. And, of course, basically, we ought to be teaching our young people about fidelity, you know, chastity before marriage and fidelity when you're in marriage, but that is not what is being taught. And the young people don't understand the psychological impact that sexual promiscuity is going to have on them down the line. And they will never, never forget the things that have happened. Well, how can faith-based communities benefit social behavior, because that's really what it's all about? You know, basically, if there's no God, life has no meaning. I had somebody call me the other evening to tell me that he didn't believe in the Bible, and I just told him, you know, if the Bible isn't true, and God did not die for my sin, then I'm condemned. And certainly, if the Bible isn't true, there is no hope. We live in a hopeless world. And I don't want to live in that world. You can live in it if you want to. But I would far rather believe the Bible was true. He didn't know what to say. I mean, there's so many people out there who have an intense hatred of Christianity and everything it stands for. And yet we have to have a foundation for life, don't we?
We really do. And we have to talk about that, Dr. Stan, because I think one of the challenges, you know, with the whole vice clarification movement in the 70s that shut out the truth of absolutism in the school system, and has just wreaked havoc on it as a result of that over the last 40 years. It's very much like a parallel in Second Chronicles, where King Josiah's secretary, you know, he pulls away the rubble of the temple and discovers the forgotten book of the law. And it's like this moment in history when you read it. It's where the King Josiah tears his robes and he says, "Great is the Lord's anger that is poured out on us because our fathers have not obeyed what was written in this book." And we are in danger right now of having our children say the same thing. I tell a story in the book about being at a history museum right here in California, where a little girl was asking about the history of ketchup and knowing all these crazy analogies and crazy truths about meaningless and trivial information. But she didn't know what a Bible was. And I was shocked, just like many others in the room, I'm sure, were that day when she asked that question, "What is the Bible? Daddy, what is a Bible?" But there are so many around us that could make the same question, could pose the same question, "What is the Bible?" because they haven't been given that truth. Faith-based communities come in here. It is such an important role. You know, there are some great Focus on the Family has been featuring some great churches and things that they've been doing, even in the National Education Magazine, secular magazine. I see faith-based communities coming in and trying to partner and get their foot in the door so that we can begin to make an impact. We've got to be creative as a church. We've got to be engaged as a church. Barna says that in our churches right now, George Barna says, 1 in 10 families is reading the Bible together outside of church. 1 in 20 is worshiping together outside of church. We've got to get our own families in order first. Our families have got to be a priority. And once we do that, we've got to begin to change the culture around us by impacting them.
Very, very well said. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, because I do what I do. We do 5 hours of talk radio a day, and we do this on a number of different networks. We have a weekend network that gets to 33 stations, I think it is, and we never know who's going to be out there listening. But, of course, hopefully they'll hear something, and it may impact on their life. They start out thinking we're crazy, and before long they're afraid we're not, and then they begin looking for answers to the problems of life. And I just got an email a couple of days ago from a young man who had actually heard our programs, come to know the Lord, and now he's studying about what this is all about, and had some very insightful information on Gnosticism. We're going to have him as a guest here in a week or two. But people must understand that we are involved in a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
And if we don't understand that, why nothing makes sense if we just think things happen by accident. But there is, I believe, an organized effort to destroy Christianity. And boy, are they doing a good job of it. What are some of the recommendations for monitoring media intake? And what can the average parent do? Certainly the child wants to watch this program or that program. And some of these cartoons, I think, are the most truly diabolical because they're aimed at children, aimed at destroying their souls.
They really are. There are so many, we look from a global perspective, there are so many countries where targeting children in advertising is illegal. But in our country, it's millions and millions of dollars in business every year. There are countries who say there is no advertising to children, period. Other countries that say not until after 10 a.m. or no ads on Saturday because they know the impact. And then the slapstick violence is absolutely one of the most impacting because it teaches children that violence causes laughter, and all kids want to make people laugh. And so there's a neural connection there. It can be really damaging. As parents, well, first of all, pediatricians recommend that 0 to 2, no TV. Over 2, no more than 2 hours a day of screen time. And so, again, that average right now is 7 hours and 38 minutes a day. We need to begin to bring that down. I think we need to have a bird's eye view of the American family, and we look in and we see, you know, families where there are TVs in every room and everybody's in their own room at the computer or the TV or whatever. They're separated. We need to begin to bring those families back together. Something as simple as having dinner together on a regular basis has been shown to decrease juvenile delinquency, violence, to improve grades, because parents are interacting with their kids. So we've got to begin to bring that back. And, of course, our school system, that's a whole other story, another night, another topic. But, of course, if kids are in school for 7 hours a day and then they have 4 hours of homework on top of that, what on earth were they doing in school during the day? I don't know. To have another 4 hours of work they have to do afterwards. But that's also pulling from family time. And then you've got overscheduled kids. So we've got to, I think, first, let's get some quality time with our kids face-to-face. Let's have dinner together regularly. Let's pull the plug regularly as well. And let's make sure we know the content. Garbage in, garbage out.
Well, we are what we eat. We also are what we see. And the two of them, what we watch on television has a profound impact on our minds. And certainly there's some wonderful comedies out there. There's some wonderful movies with a powerful, powerful message. I saw one with Denzel Washington the other day. I think it was Eli's Bible or something of the sort. And it really was a lot of violence in it. But the message was, this was used to mask a wonderful, wonderful message.
Excellent.
And certainly we need to know what the movies are we should be seeing, what these things will be on television. We have to realize that most of the movies are not good. We need to have somebody that we can depend on to tell us what to watch. And certainly you don't want to get something and be halfway through it and say, I never should have seen this. This is why Ted Baer is a movie guide. I like Ted. He's a personal friend. And it's almost worthwhile subscribing to something of that sort so that you have an idea of the background, unless you want to do the research yourself on the motion pictures. But so much of television really is programmed to not simply to entertain. but it is to change your social attitudes. And I think that's really what you message you want to get in the book, isn't it, Lisa?
It really is. And get outside. Pull the plug and get outside. Go live in the real world that God created.
Amen to that. And, of course, it draws you when you realize the magnificence of, you know, certainly of nature. Why, of course, you realize this didn't just happen by accident. I guess as Lisa Dunn, her book, Emerge, excellent summary of what we're talking about here so often. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program. Well, Lisa, you have 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us tonight.
Okay. Are you ready?
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Our invisible leaders, the power elite, the Brotherhood of Darkness, the military-industrial complex, the iron tank triangle that Ronald Reagan talked about. Doesn't matter what you call it, there is an elite that rules this country, the superclass, David Rothkopf's book. We are ruled by a small number of people who control the media and are directing the course of this nation. Their goal is its destruction, at least to impoverish our people, to lower our living standards, to bring austerity to America and to shift production to other nations, to raise living standards throughout the world, to bring about a one-world government, to destroy Christianity. and, of course, to install the world leader. That's been the plan for 4,000 years. And Nimrod was to lead the world. He built an incomplete Tower of Babel. You can go to Strasbourg in Germany today and see a replica of the incomplete Tower of Babel. Of course, it is where the European Union meets. And, of course, it was the uniting of Europe, the first stepping stone along the way towards the one world government. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read it, you need to get it. If you'd like to get it in large numbers, we'll be glad to, of course, give you a discount on it. We want you, of course, to go ahead and get my pamphlets on the occult hierarchy. It gives you a background. There really is an occult hierarchy. If you want something put out by the Luciferians, why, we have a book. We have a little pamphlet. We'll give it to you for nothing if you get anything at all, called The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy. And they believe that the Great White Brotherhood, made up of perfect men who've been through repeated reincarnations, have come back to guide the world. And, of course, they're moving us towards this one world government. There's a move towards globalism. We have some excellent DVDs put out by our friend Michael Kaufman on globalism. You need to get my talk on sustainable development, the road to world government. The master plan is laid out in Agenda 21. We have that available, published by the United Nations. We have the original Agenda 21 that preceded the UN one. It was done right here in Santa Cruz, where I live. You can get that. It talks about how they want to get you out of your car. And, of course, they're using this whole idea of global warming, carbon footprint. It's all a lie, but it doesn't really matter whether it's a lie or not. People believe, because they're told over and over again, that it's true, and it's not true. The problem is that basically global warming is a scam. We've got another couple of excellent DVDs on that subject. We have the book Politically Incorrect View of Global Warming, and then we have Brian Sussman's excellent book entitled Climate Gate. They'll give you the background, the true background of what's going on. Of course, they're installing the smart meters because they want to run up the cost of electricity. They're going to run up the cost of oil and gasoline. They're in the process of doing that at the present time. It's all manipulated. It's all to manipulate you. And basically, so you won't use so much electricity, so you won't use your car. Maybe you'll even get an electric car. And then, of course, you get the electric car, and you've got, $20,000, $30,000 invested in it. And then, of course, they're going to run up the cost of electricity. They want to control what you do. There is an elite group. And these are subversive organizations funded by the great tax-exempt foundations, coordinated by the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, so many of these organizations out there. They have an agenda. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. 8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Watch our DVDs. Certainly listen to our radio programs. Read our newsletters. And then, of course, we hope that you'll pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Perhaps even join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Our number again, 1-800-544-8927.
Tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Thank you for joining us today. Missed you over the weekend. Glad you're back. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Hope you stayed safe, warm. That's a tough one today. Anyway, we're so happy to have you. It is 17 January 2010, and the news about Tucson continues to bother those of us who ask questions. That's right. If you don't ask any questions, if you believe everything the media tells you, then you're probably just fine. If you're asking questions like, why did Jared Loughner take pictures to Walmart at midnight before the shooting to have them developed, then you're probably scratching your head and needing more duct tape. The reason I say that is because it just doesn't make any sense. Lots of people now questioning the event. It has never, ever set well with me. And I think we need to continue to look at these questions, just like we need to continue to ask, what killed the birds? The necropsies ought to be back by now. Why aren't we hearing anything other than lightning, fireworks? They ran into each other. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Well, the people in Portage, Wisconsin, they've got, Michigan, have more problems now. They've got dead cows. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. There's a recall on with Johnson & Johnson. It's the, by the way, they had four last year, another one this year. If you use any J&J products, all I can say is beware. Flu shots making news again. Want to continue with the you are required to take it issue. We'll talk about that as well as kind of a fun story. I want to thank S-Gams for sending this. Hidden meanings in 12 popular logos. Who would ever think that there is a meaning, a hidden meaning, in the FedEx logo or the Amazon logo? You know, when marketing companies and public relations companies get paid millions of dollars, they do it with something else in mind. It's going to work, and it's going to work better than anything anyone else can do. Well, you need to look at why the logos look the way they do. Question everything. The battle for Gulf War illness goes on. This is a story from the BBC. Carolyn Hawley and Stuart Hughes asking the question, what else has happened and why hasn't something else happened? Some cancer-fighting food combinations by Dr. Oz. I like a lot of what he says, a lot of stuff I don't like what he says, like the vaccine issue. Houston has stopped a couple from feeding the homeless. Now we're getting down to something where law enforcement should be, don't you think? What are they thinking? And, of course, Southern Poverty Law Center is now part of the Department of Homeland Security. Anybody shocked on that one? We've got lots to talk about today, and in the second hour, Bob Chapman will join us. Gold has been dropping, has been very unstable lately. What are the experts thinking that it will do in relation to the strength of the United States? And in the third hour, an absolutely special, one-of-a-kind program with a gentleman who has been through the mill with the IRS. That's Joe Bannister. And why has he been through the mill with the IRS? He was part of the IRS. So I think you're going to find this most interesting and most compelling. We're going to find out his latest court battle. Joe Bannister is an amazing human being. If you don't know who he is, well, you'll find out today. We'll be back.